Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. My head in the clouds and 2 feet on the ground. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. All right. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike. We got Shane. We got Max. And we're all together, and Max is laughing because I just once again looked into the skies as I did the opening. And no, Shane's got a message coming
through. Sorry, I got to put my thing on theater mode.
Oh, yeah. Theater mode. Nice. Now he's just watching a movie. It's like, do you remember Gadget, Inspector Gadget?
I do. Yes, I loved him.
We're in the future. Remember? Yeah. Penny had like a little book that was like a computer, and then he had this Go-Go Gadget watch. Whenever I see those Apple watches, I always think of.
I just get text messages on my wrist, though. It's not that crazy.
I don't know, man. I remember once walking into a hockey arena. My brother was playing hockey when he was like a young guy, and there was like blue Gatorade machine. And I remember I used to see like blue drink, like Romulan ale on Star Trek or whatever. And I was like, the future's now. We have colored drinks. And I feel that once again in 2023.
Oh, wow.
Looking at this Apple Watch.
Interesting.
I'm just saying we're living in an ever-evolving future. The past, it predicted all of this.
What do you think was the sweet spot, though, for that thing you're talking about, Mike, which is like the exact moment when like we're living in the future and it's all coming together? Because right now I think we've gone too far and I kind of fucking hate it.
You want to pull it back a
bit? I think the sweet spot was 2001.
If we stop,
like name the year.
Yeah. No, the internet was too slow then.
Yeah,
it was annoying,
right,
with phone lines and stuff.
Okay, 2006?
The problem is, no, right now is the perfect time. If we just
you
stop.
Think so?
Yeah, if we stop right now, could never evolve at all. We all know AI is going to eventually kill us and robots are going to burn the earth. But right now, AI is at that perfect point where it's
kind of shit. And so it can't do a ton.
It's kind of shitty. It can be helpful, but not too helpful.
Yeah, it does make us feel like we're less than.
Yes. Yeah. And like for people who use Photoshop and stuff, it can produce pictures for people who aren't that talented at Photoshop. It's really at a perfect level for creativity.
So right now, interesting.
Right now, we're in the best time. And probably in the next 2 years, it's going to get so bad.
Okay, well, I don't totally disagree with you because I do like how functional our phones are, but I do worry about children being addicted to phones and video games. I know even our generation was addicted to video games, but now it's like this whole other thing in screen time, and I kind of hate that.
I hate it too.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, why delay the inevitable?
Uh-huh.
When we grow up, we're all addicted to our phones anyway. Might as well start it young.
I've had that thought too. No, about kids, you're almost behind if you don't give them the phone because all their friends are going to have phones.
Kids, their friends are just like, Daddy, Molly's coding already and I don't know how to code.
It's a modern way of living. You know what I mean? It'd be like denying your kid a calculator or something in the 90s. But what I think about when you talk about the 2001 going back to then is I'm a little antiquated. I love the idea of not being reachable.
That's interesting.
People talk about that a lot, but it's like I had a phone at home and you called and if I was there, I picked up and if I was out, I was out. And it was like, I don't know, like work couldn't get you 24 hours a day. You weren't constantly getting a call or like we are in work mode all the time or in like a mode of reachability where we're always on because of the phone. So it'd be nice to go back to a time where it was just like, I haven't seen Mike in a couple days.
Yeah. You know, I went to this probably happened like 10 years ago, but my friend Eli had been teaching abroad and he had just gone back, but he didn't have a phone. He was like, and we were going to meet up somewhere in downtown Toronto. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll meet you at like 1:30 Young and College.
Yeah.
And then I was like, he's like, yeah, but you can't be late and you can't change the plan because I don't have a phone. I'm going to be out from the morning.
That's fun.
And I'm like, shit, the pressure is off.
That's the way we used to do it.
Cool.
And I feel like if you met like someone you were interested in out in the real world without a cell phone, you fell more in love. Yeah. You're like, this is perfect, like kismet or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I have to make sure I can see this person again. If I don't get their thing, I'm never going to see them again. But now you just get their Instagram or whatever.
What was the version of like creeping before phones? Like,
you found the house.
Was it just like walking
word of
by
mouth.
The house?
You word go, of you mouth? Get the yeah. bike, you're going a bike ride. It's like, that's where Julie lives.
You're just doing a lot.
You would spy outside
no,
a house?
I wouldn't. Oh. I'd ride by on my bike.
I'd be in a tree. Yes.
You know, you'd hope to, you'd find out the path maybe if you had a crush. So like, oh, she walks this way home from school. Could I happen to be walking that way? Or, you know, you try and be in the places they're at.
I just recalled this very, very early memory, which is very embarrassing, but I'm gonna share it with you now. Is that when I was like grade 2 or 3, I had this babysitter that maybe babysat me like 1 or 2 times. Mm-hmm. Let's say her name was Sarah. I forget her name. But her locker happened to be right outside my classroom. I was in grade 2. She was in grade 8.
Wow.
And every single morning, like just after announcements, but the older kids were at their locker because they started like 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
I'd walk by her locker just to wave and say hi. That was my like my walk by.
Yeah.
And then one day she wasn't there and her friend just looks over and just goes, she's not here today, man.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, man, they knew this whole time.
I'm that obvious. Yeah. That's great. I once got, there was two girls I went to high school with. And one of them, I did have a crush on one of them. But I never acted on it. I never shared my feelings, but clearly, much like you're saying, people must have known that I had a crush on this girl. Anyway, somebody left like a note in her locker at some point that was like some like big declaration of love. And it was a huge note, but it was like an anonymous note. And I got, everyone was like, oh, Mike Vierman left that.
Oh.
And it, to this day, annoys the shit out of me. Because if I'm going to get credit or blame for something, I want to actually write the note. I never read the note, but I'm like, was it funny? Was it like, yeah. if I was going to, don't put this on me. So I had to deny it. But the more you deny the note,
the more it seems like you,
more it seems like you wrote this note. Fucking yeah. note in the locker. So it wasn't me. If you're listening, I'm not going to say the name.
Say the name.
No, I'm not doing okay. it.
Did you ever do the move where you like walk by someone and then you turn around and you see if they turn around and look back at you?
All the time.
Yeah, that was a good move.
Or that was?
Well, there was not a good move, an exciting move.
Is.
And but it's not done anymore because people know they can find you somehow. The look back's only effective because we know we only get this one fleeting moment probably and you better like take it or leave it.
Uh-huh.
And walking around the mall when I was young, like around 7 or 8, I would walk around the mall and you'd kind of see if you could get like a pack of young girls to follow you. You ever do that?
To follow you?
Like that would happen. I'd be walking around with my mom and like some girls would be trailing me. Or sometimes if I was with some male friends, we would kind of be following around a pack of girls. Is this weird? I thought this was everybody did that.
No, this is like
I think there is a bit of a, there is like, I do remember like maybe 11, 12, like pack mentality. It was a pack of girls, pack of girls.
You're
actually not that different than going to like a nightclub these days, to be honest.
Well, that age is so perfect because you're prepubescent. You have perfect skin. You kind of like, I always felt like I was Jonathan Taylor Thomas or something walking around. And then you hit puberty and you're just ruined. So yeah, that to me was my best time. When we talked about best looking time, I said 30.
Yeah.
I lied. It was actually grade 7.
Yeah. That was your glory days.
Yes, that was it.
Oh man, that's funny.
Wow.
Do you ever, because it would be awesome just to be like, to any of your kids when they get to like age 10, be like, just leave the house, no phones. We'll see you in 4 hours. Wouldn't that be a crazy rush?
It seems crazy now.
But the problem is, since we're on our phones when they're gone, we're always on the news cycle and we always have access to crazy news stories about kids getting abducted.
Yeah.
And if you look at a couple of those stories, which Alex always does, the algorithm just feeds you.
She's
like, I can't sleep. I've been reading stories about this Australian guy who used to torture children and film them and sell them to millionaires and everything. And I had to like calm her down at like 11. Wow. So
I hate that.
That fear cycle is why we can't leave our children without phones because we have access to constant fear.
You know what, though? I think I'm going to mention this. When I was in Mexico a few months ago in like February, we were staying at a hotel and town was like a 30-minute walk, just like a straight shoot. And I told my dad to meet us at the restaurant in town. So I was like waiting and he said, meet at 1 o'clock or whatever. I'm like 1:15, he's still not there. 1:20, he's not there. 1:30, he's not there.
And I'm calling his phone.
And I thought, I was like, and he's picked on this old man now because my dad's like 77. And he's like, oh, these guys, locals, have kidnapped him. And there's a ransom situation. And then he showed up and he was like, oh, my phone wasn't on.
The cartel dropped him off. He made friends with them all.
Any time I book a trip to Mexico, I always get a message. Oh, I don't know. The cartel's in town. Oh, I'll get news stories about the cartel. But Toronto, where we live, every week there's probably a shooting or a murder or a stabbing, you know?
Yeah.
Have you guys been following the submarine story at all?
I have.
Did you know?
By the way,
we should say it's still in progress.
It's still in progress.
I hope they find him.
It's Wednesday. So by the time this podcast comes out, who knows what.
Yeah, you might get this in 24 hours. But as of now, they're banging on the hull, I would imagine.
Of course, they got nothing else to do, Mike.
Shane
Sex. Mick.
Yeah.
We've pre-done this bit. I like how Max didn't even laugh at this perfect bit.
We were sitting at the desk and the submarine came up and I was like, yeah, it's crap. I'm like, I guess they're banging. And then Shane gave me like the look that he gives. He's like, well, there's nothing else to do down there.
So the retelling of the story gets left. All right.
It's a cleaner setup. Yeah. I didn't set you up properly, but
this is honestly my biggest fear. I'm not sure if you saw Max, but
banging on a submarine.
No. I mean, what if they have something and we get saved and then I have herpes or something, but I'm not sure if you've been following the dessert online, our Instagram, but recently we're trying to get people to get to know us. So all of the people involved in the show had a question to answer, which was, what's the scariest way to die?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, drowning while trapped in a tight coffin. And that's the situation that these people are in right now.
I didn't think of that.
Do they know if they're alive right now when they're banging? Because is there any windows? No.
I think it's just like I think the fact that they're making noise is them trying to let people know they are still alive. I don't think that.
Oh, they're making noise from inside.
They're making noise from inside to try it. So
you
the
think
sonar,
they're outside the submarine?
Oh, I thought there was another boat down there, bang, and there's someone else, scuba divers or something. Oh.
You can't get out of the water in that pressure.
Too much pressure.
Yeah, it's like being in space. Your head will explode.
I watch like a James Cameron doc because he goes down there or he went down there when he was.
Yeah, that's why. Maybe it was just a camera that went down there that could withstand the pressure.
It's a tricky story to talk about because obviously these are human beings. It's a terrible
hate
story. Yeah.
Why do you hate it?
I think because everything about it is depressing. The idea that somebody's going to die in a submarine is depressing. The fact that these billionaires are spending their money in this stupid fucking way, I think, is depressing.
The setup seems like a grift. Did you see the video of the guy talking about this thing he developed?
No.
It's like controlled by an Xbox controller. Like, did you guys see this video?
What is?
The fucking sub. It's like this. The guy that created the sub and does these tours is he's a character. And he's like, oh, we got this. And then it's like, we control it with this. And he pulls out an Xbox controller. So it's like the fact that it's in this situation, based on this video, assuming that it's real, of him sort of describing this makeshift submarine he made, is supposed to, you know, it doesn't seem surprising that they're in a tricky situation.
And there was all these safety warnings in advance that something catastrophic could happen. And they charge $250,000 a seat.
Yeah. Oh, we got a photo here from Ash. Yeah. There's the controller. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is exactly like a PlayStation controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. My palms are so sweaty just talking about this.
Yeah. I really dislike it. And I also like, and then there's like the stuff that's actually kind of like fun and mean to talk about with the billionaire's stepson who's at the Blink-182 concert. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, talk about that guy.
That guy's fun to talk about.
Okay. So this guy's, you know, his stepfather is in a very, you know, obviously a dangerous situation that he might not get out of. But what did the guy say? That his father would have wanted him to go to the Blink-182?
His family would have wanted him to go.
Right.
Because I think, what are you going to do? Sit around the house, just be crying?
He's like, listen, Tom is touring with them for the first time in 20 years. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? People die every day. Tom does not tour with Blink-182 all the time.
This is true. Okay, here's a question. Do you actually, this is where my mind went. Do you think you could be aroused in that situation?
Well, like if you're the stepson? No, but seriously, if you're the Blink-182.
Let's go through both characters.
Okay.
If you were on the submarine, and let's say there was a beautiful person, but you're in that situation.
I am a person who gets so petrified, I couldn't.
Okay.
I couldn't get aroused.
I tend to agree.
Would you couldn't? You agreed that I couldn't, or you? you couldn't.
I don't think I could.
Could you?
Could I perform an extraordinary situation?
It's not about performance, Mike.
Oh, is it just about
getting aroused?
Oh, Well, how long are they down there? At some point, it becomes normalized. It's like, once you're down there for like hour 20, you're kind of used to it. Yeah. It's like you've thought about your life and death.
Kind of normal.
That's the thing. You become accustomed
to
it.
That would never become normalized. You're basically on death row.
Yes. So once
you're not like, can someone clean up? You guys are lazy. Like, you're just scared the whole time.
You can't face your own death for 2 days on end. It's like you can only think about it so much. And then you kind of be like, so I don't know. Where'd you grow up?
I don't know.
Someone asked me about myself.
But if you're
we're gonna have to cut all this probably because it's probably gonna end in some catastrophic way, and we won't be able to make jokes.
There's only one way it can end. Yeah. Like there's two.
No, there's two. There's two.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Actually.
Three outcomes of your mic.
There's actually. if they do get saved, though, this is kind of like Yellow Jackets or Alive. Like, we don't know what's two only might come up. We don't know what's going to, something's happening on that boat right now. Obviously, we don't know. Maybe somebody there might be more of a story than just survival.
Because how much food's down there? Well, when you say it's like Alive, do you think they're eating each other?
If somebody's already gone, maybe. But you can't cook them. Yeah. There's no, I don't think you can do a fire in the submarine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Eat that raw.
Why? Can you get salmonella from a human? I don't know how to say it. Yeah. I wasn't confident.
Yeah, that's for the least of their worries.
Okay, so now let's go to the stepson scenario.
Yeah.
So you and I probably both couldn't get up there if we were in the sub. If we were the stepson, could you, do you think?
I feel like when you are, even if you're like in a low point, if you go out and about and kind of get swept away for a couple hours, I think you could distract yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could for sure. And in some ways, it releases anxiety. But you can't be petrified. What about you? Well, you definitely could.
You could compartmentalize.
Yeah.
The minute that first song kicks in, you're transported, you know, back to a different time.
Right. You see, you're talking about the Blink-182
yes.
concert. Gotcha.
It's like if you can go to a concert, you can have a good time.
There's a tweet from Pop Crave. Stepson of missing billionaire on Titanic submarine shoots a shot with OnlyFans model as rescuers scramble to locate his father.
Wow.
So there's a tweet going, Bria at, it's like a Twitter person who's on OnlyFans. Can I sit on you? And then Brian goes, yes, please.
And then responds
to his own tweet. His own quote tweet with, please keep my family in your prayers.
This is weird. This doesn't seem... So, okay, this man must not have money. And he's thinking, I'm about to get a lot of money. So he's trying to use this temporary fame in case his dad actually gets saved and then he's back to having to wait for his inheritance.
Yeah, good question. But he was able to get Blink-182 tickets. Those aren't cheap.
Yeah, but it's only probably like $1,000 most.
Uh-huh. I bet you he's got some money.
Okay. Yeah. Some, but not a ton. I bet you he's not a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Well, let's get this pot up immediately so we can be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We'll be right back.
What else is going on, guys?
Lots of things.
We got to promote.
That's why we're here.
So we need to promote a show in Hamilton. Tuesday, July 4th, Hamilton, Ontario, 8 p.m. at the Zoetic.
Where is the Zoetic?
On Concession Street.
Are there tickets in advance?
You just have to DM us, and then I'll put you on a list.
We're not going to sell tickets?
I don't want to sell tickets.
I think people would come out to support. We can make
$1,000 tickets, though?
I think for the Zoetic, what you do is you do like your family and friends list, and then you open up if there's 100 spots left, then people buy.
Okay.
I think people would love to pay $10 to go see the thing.
It's a screening. You're going to get almost 50 minutes of the dessert sketches, not the whole thing, but an amazing sort of screening version of it.
Tickets are only $10. And get this, Brody Dawson has agreed to make hot sauce and give it out to everyone in attendance. So this is sponsored by Dawson's Hot Sauce.
Wow. That's very generous of him. What does hot sauce have to do with comedy?
Well, you probably don't know this, but Brody helped us out big time.
Yeah. Mm.
So when we were shooting the basketball rap sketch, which Mike made this amazing, hilarious song, and Jillian is essentially doing a rap in it that we shot at the park that you created, the rally court. But that was a blistering hot day. We had nowhere to store anyone. We had tons of children around, people looking after the children. And we didn't think it through. We're like, where are we going to put these people? So Dawson's is right around the corner, Dawson's Hot Sauce, and Rob Ascula's bike repair place. Mm. And we stored everyone there in this nice air-conditioned place. Yeah. People could do makeup setup. Saved us a whack of cash and a huge problem. So Brody's in the special thanks. And he's also, I don't know, just happy to be a part of it and giving out hot sauce.
And if you keep an eye out in the De Niro sketch called Bad De Niro, where Shane and Bella are on like a first date, you can see on the table shot at Odds, Max's bar in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. On the table is Dawson's hot sauce. So this is a real family effort. Everything about this show, it was shot in Hamilton. Everybody sort of touches it. That's part of our group. It's really special.
For anyone who hasn't been to a screening of a TV show, can you describe what the night will look like?
I've never been to one either. I don't know. okay, so I think you get in, you're excited. Maybe you grab a beer.
Or
some popcorn. They serve drinks now at theaters, so you can get a mocktail, a real cocktail, some popcorn, some treats. You sit down. I say a few words.
Uh-huh.
And then, boom, up on the screen.
How many minutes of comedy are we talking?
About 40 to 45.
Nice.
We're going to play all of episode one and then an amalgam of episode two of some handpicked sketches that we think will play well in a theatrical environment.
I love it.
Then after, it's like a Q&A or what are those? A panel?
Yeah, you can do a panel.
I don't know, because we've kind of springing this on you, Max. You don't even know about this.
I didn't know about this.
So Max may or may not be there.
Hosting
a panel.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were talking about Monday.
But we don't need people for Monday. And I don't want random pod listeners coming to Monday. Well,
there's a big Toronto screening Monday, which we will talk about eventually. And
let's talk about it right now.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about that in an eventized way, but that one's not open to the public. That's all you need to say.
That one's not open to the public, but I didn't want to hurt people because I feel like they think now the Monday is the good one to come.
Here's the thing is that if you live in Hamilton and you're interested in being a part of the show and seeing what it's all about and being a part of the kickoff of the show, I should say, is that we have this event for you on the mountain at Kodiak. What's it called again?
The Kodiak,
Zoetic.
Zoetic.
We'll put it on our Instagram and make it easier.
I love the Kodiak.
And you can come to that. We are also having an event on Monday, June 28th?
July 27th.
July 26th?
No, June 27th. June 26th.
June 26th.
Ash in our lives, we are fucked.
June 26th.
What is the day? Give Ash the mic. Tell the people what it is.
Oh, actually, but just June 26th, Monday, it's going
to
be.
But you can't come if you're listening to this.
No, but we're telling the people because it'll be all over the internet. It'll be fun. Right. It'll be there. Bruce is coming.
You'll see the photos. Yeah. You'll see all
the photos.
That stuff.
Tune in. Maybe Insta Live. I don't know.
There you go.
We'll do all that stuff.
We'll pump it up. But just so our listeners know, because Shane is right. So we're doing two screenings. We're doing this one, which is largely for like press, industry people, create a buzz, let people see this show for the first time in sort of an environment like that. People who like worked on the show and then industry people. The Hamilton one is like really, that's for the people. That's for the real ones. Open to the public. We'll be there. Like Shane said, you know, a little bit of chatting, maybe a Q&A after. We can talk about the show. But like that's where like our, you know, extended family will be, our friends. If you're into the Champagne Boys, you've heard us talk about them over the years. I'm sure a bunch of them will appear at the Kodiak, as Max called it, theater in Hamilton. It's actually called the Zoetic. And it's also right near a brand new billboard. featuring our very own Shane Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's my first time with a Billy.
By producer Nathan.
Nathan Nash.
Nathan, by the way, just a moment of appreciation, really came through. And
oh my God,
he's amazing.
He's so great because obviously he's a jack of all trades. He edits his pod. He shoots a bunch of stuff for our Kells, does video for our Kells. And then he got this assignment to do these sort of glossy, high concept photos for the dessert, which are going to be used on billboards and the cover art for the show itself, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know a lot about photography, and there's lots of different kinds of styles of photography. You know, there's concert photography, there is wedding photography, but that sort of like high end, glossy, artful photography, which requires a lot of Photoshop editing, is a whole other thing that takes many, many years of trial and error. And, you know, it's a very like intensive, artful project to take on. And he hasn't done a ton of this in his professional life, at least, but he fucking nailed this.
Oh
one.
My God.
Like Matt Barnes level shit.
I have no trust in anyone outside of Mark Myers. I'm very codependent, like very dependent on him. Usually to trust someone, I need to be able to kind of yell at them. Uh-huh. And I'm not comfortable yelling at Nathan. So I thought he was going to like not do it this well. And then we would just have to live with it. Mm-hmm. But he went above and beyond, and like, it turned out twice as good as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, so good. So if you have any photography needs or like multimedia, videography, podcast editing, Nathan Nash is the guy to talk to because he's so good.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Honestly. No, he's truly great. And shout out to Nathan because he does it all. And he does it all exceptionally well.
So we haven't really talked since we announced the show, though. Because I know we've been talking about it for about 2 years on this podcast. But like we announced it last week and we put out the trailer.
Trailer's out. 167,000 views.
That's big.
Proud of those views.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's funny. It's like the trailer is very well done. But doesn't even give you... Like, I just can't wait for people to actually see the show. Because like, you know, it's going to be a fun, rollicking sketch comedy show. But
I'm excited for you to be in the theater and watching it.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Because
there's nothing like being in with a captive audience, all watching the same thing, shared laughter. It's going to make you think the show's even better than you think it is.
Yeah. I think it's awesome.
But I am being tested a little bit after the show when we do this panel.
Oh, yeah.
So we're using it. Amy Dory, who is our publicist. She's seeing how we do fielding questions.
Oh.
And based on how good or bad that goes, we're either going to have media training or we aren't. So I want to impress her.
Oh, and so you want me to serve you up the questions beforehand?
That's why I messaged you. I'm like, let me know, because sometimes I'm really good. Other times I'm terrible and I never know what I'm going to be.
What do you want to be asked? Well, ask whatever you want.
Just let me know. And then I can tee up some funnies and make it seem like if it's off the top of the dome.
Ah, cool. So it's like a late night appearance.
Or maybe some emotional things. I don't know. I don't know which way. I'll go. I'll let you decide because I don't want to dictate too much.
I'll be like, what was like the state of your marriage while filming this show? Okay, cool.
Got real quiet on that one.
Cut that, Nathan. No, I'm joking.
But yeah, this is a big deal. And it's also, it's so cool. And I really want to say this, that, and I'll say this on stage too. I feel so lucky to be involved because I know you guys did the lion's share of the work and I got to work on the music, and Ash is doing all this organizational stuff, especially when it comes to the rollout of it all. But to be able to plot my name on the show, that's something you guys have spent thousands of hours on, it is a real honor. And I say that completely seriously. I'm very, very honored to be a part of it.
We're honored because you made, can we say 8 original songs? Because you made 8 original songs. Mm-hmm. Each one is better than the next. Mm. The theme song, some of the best work I think you've ever done.
Ah, thank you.
So it really set the tone having you as a part of it. Yeah. And obviously that helps create interest for the show. Yeah. So we're going to get way more eyeballs because of your involvement.
And aside from your talent and your music and your name, obviously, which helps the show in all of the ways that it does, you both, Ash and Max, here, are amazing executive producers. Mm. You're working on behalf of the show constantly in multitude of ways. And I think that's what's so great about this whole sort of endeavor is how much everybody's pitching in and doing, because you could easily just throw your name on it and then walk away from it.
No, it's the work itself is the fun part.
So engaged all the time on everything with the launch and all the details and sort of next steps. You know, what do we do after this? Because, you know, you're sort of famously people who think not about what's happening in the immediate, but 5 steps down the road is sort of where your brains are always
at. Well, I was actually talking to Mark about this on the way to basketball last night because he drove me. And I was like, okay, this show we should be super proud of it. And because it is awesome. It's so well made. It's a show that looks like it was made for $15 million, but we know the actual budget of it, you know, which is a fraction of that. And it is gonna be like, I always find like the thing that you eventually, the thing you hear about like a director or an artist or producer or whatever is usually the ninth thing they've done. So this is like, and I know you guys have been shooting, running commercials for like decades now, but when it comes to like creating a TV show, like this is going to be the first of, like, I'm for the sixth thing that we do, that'll be the thing that people actually like really see. And by the way, I hope everyone sees this show, and maybe there's a world where people do see the show. That's also possible.
Maybe
it's possible. It's possible.
There's the confidence from the executive producer himself. No, but I joke. We have the exact same outlook. Of course. What I mean?
But I'm like, because when people see it, they go, oh, holy shit. Like, Shane's a star. Jillian's a star. Bella's a star. Oh, who directed this? Oh, who edited this? Oh, who wrote this? Oh, wow. This team can do a bunch of stuff.
When you have a quality thing, everybody wins because people want to be, they want to be, who made that? How did they make it? Who, you know, it's like a showcase for talent. And it's hard to
get. And were they good to work with too? It's like, that's a huge part of it too. It's like, you know, we've had a good time working together, but also with the folks at Crave. Like, Crave have been amazing partners.
Well, it's like, it's building too, right? It's like, you know, it's like we have this relationship with Crave. Obviously, we've created the Mike on Much in conversation with. So we've done a show, but that was a different type of show in the way that we produced it, even because it was very much produced with Bell. And it was like the three of us sort of decide what did we want to do. And obviously, Justin was very involved in that. And then this is something that was like outside of the family, meaning they're involved, but we took it away and did it sort of like bottom up. Whereas we use the infrastructure here to do the other show. And so it's kind of cool to learn how to do different shows in different ways. And it all just becomes part of the journey along the way until you, like you said, you're at the seventh thing and it's like, oh, it's like, you know, we're talking about Matt Johnson and
that was a segue. You know, I wanted to say, because I just saw Black Bear on Monday.
So, you know, and it's like, so it's like people are going to discover Matt Johnson, either maybe on Blackberry, it might be three movies from now. And then they're like, oh, he did this thing called Nirvana, the band in the show. And it's
so far, listeners, I mean? Tee it up just a little bit more.
I think we should talk about go for it.
Local comedy creatives, Matt Johnson, Jay McCarroll, who are known for, in my world, as the stars and creators of Nirvana, the band, the show, which is a very funny comedy that was on Viceland that I really liked, you really liked. They were guests on this podcast and they've done a bunch of other stuff, but the thing that is getting them a lot of attention now, this is like, when did Nirvana, the band, the show come out? Like 7 years ago or something?
Yeah.
The thing that's getting them attention today is Blackberry, this movie about the rise and fall of Blackberry, which I just saw on Monday at Varsity. It's been in Toronto theaters for like over a month now.
Yeah, it's an awesome
like,
watch.
It's like, it's an indie. So like, maybe you haven't heard of it. Maybe you've seen the posters around. It's a Canadian made film about a Canadian story. But they don't get that show without
all the other stuff.
Nirvana, the band, the show and his relationships, obviously with CBC and all the funds. And he learned how to work sort of the system. And now he's going to get something, I would presume. That's going to be like, we're going to open up, you know, Twitter one day and we're gonna be like, oh, Matt Johnson's making a movie with
Adam Sandler,
you know, Steven Spielberg's producing his next film, whatever you consider sort of the highest level of success in the industry. It's like, you need those steps in order to do it. And that's why anyone's listening. You just got to make shit, make shit. And then that you get to make more shit.
And it was funny. I was giving our friend Brent a whole recap of the Blackberry story. Did you know the Blackberry story like that? Well, I knew like a little
vaguely,
bit.
Yeah. Vague.
But I thought they did an awesome job of retelling it and describing how insane Jim Balsillie is. And, you know, Doug,
say his name?
Balsillie?
Balsillie? Balsillie?
It looks like Balsillie, but I think it's Balsillie. He corrects people in the movie.
There you go.
And did you see it yet, Mike?
I haven't. No.
Oh, it's so good. It's one of those movies I think will do really well on streaming too. Like in any of those sort of like biopic kind of.
I haven't been to the theater since Puss in Boots, which was a fantastic film, by the way.
That sounds terrible.
You would love it.
No, really? It's actually good. Yeah.
It's one of the best movies I've seen in like 2 years.
And it made me laugh out loud.
It's so good.
Wow. Okay.
It's all about basically cats have nine lives. So Puss does his last a big thing and he kind of gets crushed by a bell. He goes to the doctor and the doctor's like, Puss, like, you need to retire, man. You got one life left. And he has to struggle with the idea of either being this swashbuckling like rock star or settling down for a quiet life. And he basically can't come to terms with what he's supposed to do.
This is really heady.
It is. And it's Antonio Banderas as Puss. And then Salma Hayek's this like woman he left at the altar. I don't know, like a year ago.
And who's the comedian that you like?
John Mulaney.
John Mulaney
is the main antagonist. It's really good. It's written so well. It's like, it's heavy and funny and it's got LOLs for the kids. And then like, like death personified is following him around, which he's like, it's shaking him to his core. And
wow.
It's like a prison break movie. Cause he has to go high out at like a cat sanctuary for a bit. No one knows that he used to be Puss in Boots. That's I'm telling you, Max, you'd like it.
Okay, I take it back. Sorry about
back
that.
Back to Blackberry.
Blackberry. And it's also shot. The director of photography is our friend Jared Rabb, who's directed Arkell's videos in the past. I texted Jared this morning, just congratulating on him. So
yeah, he did Nirvana, the show, the band.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's such a signature style, especially the beginning of Blackberry. I was like, oh, this feels so much like Nirvana.
That's what Populous and I were saying. We saw it together, and it kind of starts out in like a not a sloppier style, but that more documentary, like zoomy style.
Yeah.
And then as the movie gets more serious, so does the filmmaking. Yeah. It's really effective.
Yeah, totally. Because by the end of it, it feels like a really slick movie.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, it feels like ramshackled in the way that that operation was in Waterloo, Ontario.
Yeah. It's the best movie I've seen in theaters probably since Puss in Boots. Like Mike said.
Which we did. Honestly. Love, yeah.
No.
And honestly, just from a filming standpoint, that kind of intentional planning is so cool. Like when it comes together, you know what I mean? Cause it's like, you know, they probably shot a sequence where like, okay, we're going to settle the film down in these scenes. Cause we're at this point in the story.
Yeah.
And these are going to be more like you said, like those snap zooms and sort of the office and please don't destroy or whatever, like that style of filming. And then you settle into a more cinematic sort of thing. I haven't seen the film, but just talking to you guys about it and what I've read. But when you set out to make something like that and you intentionally do it and then it comes together and it's effective and everybody's, it's like, that's the dream.
Jay Baruchel, I thought that was his best acting in a movie.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, because, yeah, Jay can be very signature Jay sometimes and like so of Jay, but he actually kind of embodies whatever the dude's name is.
And
the other Coke founder of
the gray hair.
The Steve Wozniak of this story.
Yeah.
I just
jobs. Yeah, exactly.
And then we saw Bruce McCullough while ago live and Mark Little opened and with Laura Silovitz. I heard Laura is in this film as well.
Laura's in it. Laura plays the secretary. She's great in it.
Yeah.
We saw Mark at basketball. He plays in our basketball league.
How is he? Can he hoop?
Yeah, he's great. Yeah,
Mark Little.
Yeah. It's very fun basketball league. I'm really, really enjoying it. I think we talked about it recently, but yeah, we did because you got injured.
Yeah, I haven't been able to play, which I think is helping the team chemistry because it's shortening the bench.
Yeah, we're getting a lot more minutes. Mark Myers is very happy because he gets to play the entire time.
Yeah.
We had a dominating win against Pablo's team last night, which felt really good. But you know, it's funny because you know, we were talking about our injuries and you know, Mike got injured and like what broke your ribs or something.
Yeah. Cracked a rib or bruised a rib.
And then you laughed at Mike for getting injured and then you got injured.
Yeah.
And then I was in my head was laughing at both of you.
Yes.
I was like, and I'm younger than you guys. So I'm like, you know, I'm not there yet. I'm not there. I'm a spring chicken. So we're playing, I'm in this flag football league. And it's 7-on-7 co-ed football. And I have the kind of confidence that would suggest that I think I could be a quarterback in the NFL. I'm like, hey, if you just like gave me a good O-line, I could throw some passes. Like, I got that in me. Anyway, our team is like 1-6.
What are you, like 6'1"? Yeah. I don't even think you're tall enough to be a QB in the NFL.
I could be.
All right, go on.
But actually, maybe after this season, I don't think I could be anymore because we're 1-6. Like, we don't win any games. And we were playing. And the other thing about being a quarterback is if we have subs, I'll kind of go off on defense. So I'm actually not running around a lot. Mm-hmm. And on offense, I just get to stand there and throw the ball. So everyone else is sprinting their faces off and I'm just tossing the ball. It's kind of fun. So the game is tied 3-3. There's like 4 minutes left in the game and we're on defense, but we don't have a bench. So I'm playing defense this time. I intercept the ball. I choke a couple of people. I have the open field ahead of me. Mark Myers is actually filling in. He's watching this all happening. Like his hands are in the air. Like we've won the game. Like there's no way that they're going to score a touchdown.
I have a clear path. Trip.
No, pull my hamstring.
No, you pulled up lame.
I pulled up lame. I was just like, and then I just stopped and I started to walk. And a guy just kind of walked up to me and pulled my leg.
Isn't that a serious injury though?
I tweaked it. I just didn't know how bad it was, but basically,
and you went down.
No, I didn't go down. I just was like, if I keep running, I'm asking for a lot of trouble.
Man, that's
scary. So I stopped. So it was so embarrassing. And then,
you're back to normal now.
I'm much better. I'm not, I don't think I'm 100%, but I'm like, I went from like, I pulled my hamstring to like, I probably tweaked something. But
what do I do next week if I'm good enough to play? Because I'm a little embarrassed to come back.
No, you'll be great. We need you. You're awesome.
Okay.
You're going to be
so
amazing.
So if I'm like, it won't disrupt the chemistry?
No, at all. Okay. You know, you'll be like a breath of fresh air, actually.
Okay.
And when we talk about like chemistry on the team, it's more that like everybody's played for 3 weeks. So it's not like we're necessarily better with each other.
Yeah.
We're just all better personally.
Okay.
So number one.
I'm going to start doing left-handed drills so I can do something.
Right before we recorded, Max said that since Shane's been out, they have better chemistry in the team. And it wasn't a nice thing to say. Well, and now Shane's trying to figure out what that meant.
I suggested it as like a ha-ha, look at me being self-deprecating. And then Max went, So it was a little hurtful.
No, the other thing though, okay. So one, I think we're all personally better.
Right. Number Without two, Shane in your life.
No, no. Number two is we just know each other more. So mm-hmm. on a personal level, mm-hmm. we just are like, oh, there's my guy.
Right.
But when it comes to actual like chemistry of
what
the
does
team,
personally better mean?
Just like I know their names now. There's like oh, okay. there's Joe and Tom. Like the first right. two
Got
or three
you.
Weeks,
That's
I didn't know their names.
Battle, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get used to seeing people. You're like, oh, my guy. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to actual like chemistry of like on the court, you're going to fit right in.
Is there Instagram follows going on?
Oh, ooh, no. But I did meet one guy last night who we played against who's opening a bar that Birchall's a part of, which is totally random.
Whoa. Yeah, that's happening next week, right?
Paris, Texas, King Street West, man.
Shout out to
Birchall's owning a bar?
He's like a part of an owner.
It's like a partner into it. He's in a group and they're opening a bar.
That's a stupid move.
Yeah.
I'm joking because you own Odds.
Yeah. Speaking of Birchall, I told him to come out to the big old screening mm-hmm. on Monday.
Yeah.
It's 10 bucks, right?
He's everything. He's a friend. No, that's the one in Hamilton.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, Birchall's industry. He's a friend. He sort of encompasses many, many things, but he said he's coming. So I'm excited to see him there.
We'll see. I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah. Speaking of that premiere, circling back to the show, the date is announced. We couldn't announce it last week. I think we bleeped it out or something just because, our partners Crave. They wanted to be announced properly, and then we can talk about it. But July 7th on Crave. If you're a listener of this pod and you want to support the show, we all really believe in it. We're really proud of it. We spent a large portion of our lives in the last couple of years making the show. So if you get Crave and you watch it, maybe just like leave it on. Mm-hmm. Let it stream all night. Go do other things and just let it keep running.
Yeah. And, I think I've talked to people that are in this industry and like how the metrics work for like the success of a show. And sometimes it has to do with streams, but sometimes it has to do with new signups. So it's like if you've signed up specifically for the show, they can identify that.
How can they identify
that? I think it's like someone signs it up and what are the first thing
what do they click on? Yeah, I see. On.
So
like don't stop at Star Trek Strange New Worlds first.
Yeah,
go right to
the thing. And also it's like if you're contemplating, it's like, is it worth like $10 a month? Yes, it is. Stop it. It's worth $10 a month or whatever Crave costs.
We have full creative control. I think the show is something to talk about, but I will also warn that the show is definitely rated R. So do not watch the show with people maybe under the age of 12.
30? Oh, right.
No. Oh, also, I ran into somebody on the street in a coffee shop on the weekend. And the guy goes, I know Shane. And I also know Hattie. And I recognize this guy, but I don't really. And then he goes, I was actually in one of...
Oh, he stopped me, Alejandro.
Alejandro.
And he goes...
He gave me a free coffee last week.
Yeah, and he goes... And he said, I just saw Shane. And I was like, oh, you're the guy who goes, you're going to have to take a big shit. And he's like, that's me, or whatever the line was.
Oh, Shane insisted
he didn't... No shits? Johnson, you are so fucked.
Oh, yeah.
He got a haircut.
Did he give you a free coffee?
He gave me some free ice creams.
Okay.
Don't get Alejandro fired. I was going to say this, though. Shane insisted he's coming to the thing on Monday.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can't bump into a guy who is in the show not invite him to the thing. Yeah. I'm still going to charge him the $10. Don't worry.
I don't the Monday is no charges.
Well, we might as well. Now I'm into the money thing. Yeah. We might as well make something.
We should recoup on, that one. But we'll have lots to talk about after that one. So the next episode you hear, it'll all be stories about the screening in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a lot of excitement for July 4th, which is the Tuesday in Hamilton. I guess mm-hmm. Shane did just spring this on you. It feels like it's a very evolving thing. Ash has a look.
Ash is furious.
Are you guys coming? Well, Gregory Veerman can't come on the 4th because Weezer's playing, but he's very excited to come on Monday.
Let's leave it as a mystery too, because let's not commit to Max, but let's leave the possibility that Max may come.
Oh yeah.
Also, if you're like a prestigious member of the press and you want to come to the Monday screening,
and you have a good sense of humor.
And you have a good sense of humor.
Not serious members of the press.
Yeah.
Although there's not a lot of prestigious members of the press under 12.
Some YouTube influencers maybe.
That's true.
Yeah, if you review things, send us a DM. Yeah. Maybe you can get in.
We want to get the word out.
Yeah.
We want this thing to go supernova.
To fly.
Is that the name of this episode? We want this thing to fly?
Yeah.
It's nice. A good line.
All right, well, I guess that's it. That is all. That is our episode. It's a little shorty this week, and I'm sorry. I know it's been a while. Our pods are infrequent, and I know we say this sometimes, but it is fucking nuts, work-wise and life-wise, and there's so much going on. But it's because we're trying to make great stuff. You guys, Laundry Pile.
Yeah, new song coming out next week. We'll get into that next week.
Yeah. Got a show coming out. Everything's happening. It's all happening. But because of that, we aren't as frequent as we'd like to be. And we got some more news coming up. Hopefully next month we're going to be doing some stuff in July we're really excited about and we can talk about then. But that's it. That's all. Thank you, Nathan Nash. Thank you to Ash. It's been a great hang, guys.